Bibles. We're just going to go to one verse this morning to start, and that is in the book of Acts, in the first chapter of the book, and then verse number 8. So Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I hope that this morning's message will just be a kind of reminder to us on why we do what we do and the purpose for what we do as a church and even as individual Christians. And so Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Here's what it says. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we'll go ahead and pray and then have a message for you this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given to us. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the gift of salvation that you've so graciously given to us. And we've sung about this morning how Jesus came into our heart, and it's been an amazing thing that we've experienced, the joy and the peace that came into our life. And we've sung about being redeemed, how you've bought us, how you've purchased us with your own blood, and where could we go but to the Lord. And we've sang all these songs and heard a great special. And I pray that we'd be reminded of the fact that you are our all in all, and we need to live with you at the center, at the forefront of our lives. And I pray that as well as living with you at the forefront of our life, you would also allow us to be telling others about what you can do for them as well. Lord, I do pray now that you would help us to see your wonderful truth this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I believe in purpose, in having a purpose, and having a purpose for why you do what you do. I'm not a big fan of just doing things for no purpose, for no reason. Wasting time, energy, money perhaps, just to do something, just to do it. There has to be a purpose for why we do what we do. For me, that's a big part of my life, is I don't just want to waste my time and waste my energy, but I want to do something with my life. And to make your life count, you have to have purpose. Why are we doing it? And you have to realign yourself with that purpose from time to time, and especially as a church. And so one of the things that I've done every year is to place a theme in front of our church, and this is the purpose that for impact. We want to have an impact this year in our families, our community, our church, our faith, and this quarter is community. And we need to realize that that's the purpose for why we do what we do. And this quarter, it is, again, community. And God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for our church. And it is easy to get distracted and to get off of the purpose for why we do what we do. You know, for me, for my purpose, God has uniquely called me to be a pastor here at Kauai Baptist Church, and that's my purpose. Now, I have other purposes. I have to be a husband to my wife and a father to my kids, and I have to be a friend to people that I have relationships with, and a brother to my brothers and sister. I have to be a son to my parents. There's a lot of different roles that I play in my life, but I believe one of the primary roles for my existence is to be a pastor. And if I'm not careful, there's other things that can sneak in and distract me from that purpose or keep me from being motivated to that purpose, and that's true of all of us. And even within the church body, we can become distracted for why we come together, why we exist, why did God put us together as a church body? Because if we're not careful, we can start doing things that don't really matter to that purpose, don't really accomplish anything. And we want to make sure that we remind ourselves of that. And this is this morning something kind of a refresher, a reminder on why God brought us together, on why even there's a purpose to his salvation for us. But one of those purposes was so that we might be a witness. Now, obviously, the primary purpose is to save us. But once we are saved, he wants us to be a witness. So God wants us as a Christian, after we are saved, to bear fruit. Obviously, I believe that I believe this with all my heart, that God would have sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross if you were the only person that was ever going to be saved. He loves you that much. Just one. The value of one. I believe we can see that in the Bible. The Bible talks about when one person gets saved, the angels rejoice in heaven. The value of one sinner. And I do believe that God would have sent Jesus to die on the cross just for you. I believe that. And I believe that even if you were not to live anything other than an ordinary life and die and go to heaven, he would have done it. But obviously, he wants us, after we are saved, to do something, to live a life for him. And not just one of us, but all of us. And that first reason, after we are saved, that first purpose is to bear fruit. He wants to see us to begin producing as a Christian. And there's a lot of things that we need to produce. There's some things that we need to produce, and one of those things is love. I was struck by this thought, not in my message, but I'll share it with you because I thought it was interesting. You've heard people say love conquers all. And at first that kind of, I don't know about that. You know, I don't know about that. But then I thought, God is love. Makes sense. God does conquer all. Every knee will bow. And God is love. So that does, for me, make sense. And the reality is we are to produce love in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love. First one, right? We are to love people. We're to love our enemies. We're to love those that despise us, those that hurt us. As a Christian, one of the fruits that we produce by yielding to the Holy Spirit is love. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples and that ye love one another. We should be a loving people. And again, I would rather be too loving than too unloving. I would rather err on the side of being too loving. I don't know that you can. I can understand that love demonstrates itself in different ways. But the reality is we should be a loving people, bearing fruit. But one of those fruits that we are to bear is to be able to witness to people and see them come to see Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's out of love and of some having compassion. Love, making a difference. That's what we do to see people saved, to see people drawn to Christ, to give them the message of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. Again, if we are to love people and we have the answer to their salvation for their eternal souls, if we love them, we should share it with them. Now, for me, if I know there's something that would help somebody, I have difficulty sharing that with an absolute complete stranger. Depending on how, you know, it may be, hey, you know, maybe it's something that's just my opinion. You know, I don't think a complete stranger, if I saw one the other day, I was going through line at Times, and they were loading up on the Monsters. Now, my opinion is that would be bad for your health, the energy drinks. You know, and it was kind of late at night, he's just going to pound them, I think, to stay awake. And, I mean, you could die from that if you overdo it. Now, that's my opinion. Now, I kept my mouth shut. I'm like, hey, buddy, listen, that's terrible. What are you doing to yourself? Even though I don't do that for myself. I don't drink caffeine. I don't do that because that doesn't help me. I don't think it's good for me. That's my opinion. Now, as the situation becomes more and more, hey, you know, maybe somebody's, you know, wanting to hurt themselves or they're doing something that could harm themselves, then I'll stop. Hey, you probably shouldn't do that. You know, that's not a good, because they're a complete stranger, you know. Maybe they're beating their head with a hammer. You know, hey, are you okay? What's going on? You know, I'll probably intervene in that situation the more intense it gets. But generally speaking, I don't like to tell people, hey, you know, you probably shouldn't, you know, do that. You know, you probably should, you know, whatever the case may be. One of them's smoking. I don't think that's great for your health either. But I don't walk up to complete strangers and go, hey, excuse me, but you're killing yourself, right? And I don't do that. Maybe you do. I don't know. You have a lot of friends if you do, probably. But... The reality is we don't naturally, we're not naturally good at that. But the closer we gain in relationship, like say for instance my wife, we'll talk about things that we do in our lives and that help each other. And obviously we have a relationship with each other, we're married, and what I do affects her, what she does affects me, and of course, you know, so we have that discussion. And maybe because the love is increased for my wife that we'll have those things, we'll talk about those things, but the reality is with complete strangers, I struggle with those conversations. But there is something at stake with every person. and that is their soul, their eternal soul. And it's a big deal. It's not something that's even significant. It's something that's even more significant than smoking cigarettes or doing drugs or anything that you could do physically to your body. This is more significant. This is their eternal soul. It's at stake. And if somebody was wanting to harm themselves and they were on the brink of harming themselves, I think most of us would try to do something to help that person. You know, maybe somebody posts on Facebook, this is it, you know, I'm checking out, whatever. We would try to reach out to that person. Hey, what's going on? I can help. Don't hurt yourself. I'm praying for you, love you. You know, let's talk. Whatever we could. But this is not just a physical life we're talking about. It's a spiritual one for all eternity. And this is a big deal. So one of our first purposes as Christians is to bear fruit in telling folks about Jesus. It's a big deal for us. And one other thing is that we need to understand that one of the other reasons that we are saved is to bring praise to His glory. To praise God with our lives. To show how great God is. You know, when we sing that Gina song was amazing, how she talked about how the touch of Jesus changed her, and it's an amazing thing. And we sang some songs this morning about that. And that is all to the praise of His glory. We want to show how Jesus coming into my heart has changed my life to the praise of His glory. So there's some things that we want to do. So God wants us to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Now, what we learned in the Bible this morning in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is that we are to be a witness to the whole world. And that is a daunting task, but the Bible actually begins with instructions at Jerusalem, at the very place where you're at. To start where you're at, so start with your friends and your neighbors and maybe go from there. And so it's important for us to start to think about those that are around us. And as I preach this message, I'm praying that God will put somebody on your heart. That's what I'm praying. And as I preach throughout the message, there's a person that will come into your mind. I want you to start praying about that person, maybe even write their name down. Because I believe that God would have you to reach out to them with the gospel. So start to think about that as we go through the message. I read a bumper sticker one time. It says, "Friends don't let friends die without Jesus." That's true. If we're going to say we love people, if we're going to say that we are friends, we don't let friends die without Jesus. We make an attempt or several attempts to try to get them the gospel. I've heard several stories of family members, even within this church, they don't know Jesus Christ, and they are on the verge of death, and they continue to come with them with the gospel. Because there's a lot at stake. So God has put friends in your life. God has put people in your life for a reason. And that reason, I believe, is to, one of the things, is to help them know Jesus. Help them understand there's a Savior who loves them, who died for them, and that He can bring peace and joy into their life while they go through the struggles of life. That makes it all make sense. And so we want to share Jesus Christ. So in our text, the disciples gathered around the resurrected Christ, and they're searching for His plan. So what's going to happen here, Jesus? What, we're ready. You know, you've died on the cross, kind of threw us off there. And then you rose again, threw us off again, but we're into this, right? They are kind of excited about serving Jesus, and they kind of put everything besides. And the disciples were interesting because they kind of went through phases of fellowship where they were into it, they were kind of out of it, they were into it, they messed up. And now, right now, when the resurrected Savior is in front of them, they are gung-ho. They're ready to go, and I think I would be too. You would be too. I mean, you saw all this stuff, right? He's healed all these people. He's done all these miracles. He's fed thousands and thousands of people from five loaves and two fish. He's done incredible and amazing things. Then He dies. I mean, it's very obvious He died. They buried Him in an empty tomb, and 3 days later He rises, and He shows Himself to them. Whoa, okay. We're doing this, right? Whatever you say, we are doing. And that was their mindset. And so they knew that the plan for Israel that God had revealed to them through the prophets was that God was to establish a kingdom where His Messiah, where the Savior, where Jesus would rule and reign from that kingdom. And now they were expecting this at that moment. Okay, you died. We weren't thinking that was going to happen, but now you're back. All right. How's the kingdom going to happen? We're ready to go. It's amazing. What's your plan for us? And he kind of threw them off again. Because now instead of, okay, here's what we need to do. Here's the strategy, right? We're gonna advance this way. We're going to take over this here. And we're going to do this here. We're going to put our statement there. We're going to wave our flag here. This is how we're going to do it. No, this is not the time for the kingdom that they were expecting. And here's what he tells them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. You're going to be my witnesses. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to heaven, which would happen in a few verses later. And in fact, in verse 6, we read it. In verse 6, it says, when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Here we go. It's time. But it wasn't time. It wasn't what God would have them to do. And so God did not allow them to establish the kingdom at that time. He was going to have them be witnesses. And that's the first thing I want to look at this morning is the purpose stated. They were to be witnesses. It's interesting. The Greek word for this word witness is the word martis or martyr. It's where we get the word martyr from. They were literally going to tell of Jesus at the price of their own life. And they did. That's what it means to be a witness, is to give your life, telling others about Jesus Christ. And that was their purpose. There's a man named John Wycliffe who was burned at the stake for printing Bibles, and he said, God opened the eyes of the king. And a few weeks later, the Bibles were once again being printed in England. And he literally gave his life for that cause. In John chapter 20 and verse 21, the Bible tells us, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the purpose to which he gave him was to die on the cross. That's what God sent Jesus for. And Jesus says, hey, as the Father has sent me, I'm going to send you. And in many cases, for many Christians throughout the centuries of Christianity, that has been the asking price, their life. They were going to give their life to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's an amazing and profound thing. They were to be witnesses. They were to be witnesses specifically of Jesus Christ. We all know that there can be different purposes for being a witness. There can be different things that we do. There can be things that we witness of. I was there. I saw it. But this specifically was a witness of Jesus Christ, to tell folks about Jesus Christ. The truth is we are to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's what we do. That's why we do what we do, is to tell folks about Jesus Christ. It's not, you know, as there's so many different things that we can talk to people about. And I do believe there are things that can open the doors to the gospel. I think there's small talk that can help us get to talking about different things. But the reality is the one goal is Jesus Christ. We have to talk about Jesus Christ. In the Bible, John the Baptist was a great voice for Jesus. He was an amazing voice. He was one crying in the wilderness. And in John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that life. And in many ways, we are all like John the Baptist. You even go to a Baptist church. There you go. No, the reality is we're to tell folks of the light. Hey, we're living in darkness. Hey, there's a light. His name is Jesus. He found me. He changed me. He helped me. I'm not perfect, but he helped me. I want to tell you about him too, because he can help you too. A witness of Jesus Christ. And so there was a purpose stated, and then there was the process that was shared. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 28. We'll see again the Great Commission here in Matthew 28. And verses, we'll go through 18 through 20. So Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. It's interesting. You know, in Hawaii, the Hawaiians like to talk about mana, power. All mana is given to Jesus Christ. All power. All power. Jesus has it. It's incredible. It's an amazing statement. It continues on with, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the world. Amen. And so God gives us a process. There's a purpose. There's a process. They were to be witnesses. Very often, it began. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 tells us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The process begins with the telling of the gospel. The gospel is specifically Jesus Christ as God, God the Son, his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel. And you will believe in that, the Bible says, you will be saved. If you believe that Jesus died for you, he shed his blood for you, he rose again as God, you'll be saved. That's it. You don't have to give an offering. You don't have to do, pledge whatever. You don't have to just believe and be saved. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty incredible. That is the first part of the process. That's the first part of what God wants us to do. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, we read of the early church, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's what they did. They told about Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says, in whom ye have trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And so they heard, they believed, they were born again. That seal of the Spirit is speaking of being born again. It's an amazing thing. And then they were baptized. So, teaching them, baptizing them, Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 37, the Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, guess who? Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answers, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he got baptized. That's what we do. So when somebody gets saved, when they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they, after that profession, get baptized. And baptism is just a picture of that faith, of that belief. It's the picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Go down into the water, come up out of the water. Just like Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That's a picture of your believing in Jesus Christ. That's part of the process of what we're supposed to be doing. And then we're to be discipling. Discipling means to teach them to observe all things. This is big. Now, I would venture to say that most churches are pretty good at the initial preaching of the gospel. You know, I'm sure that we could be better. I'm sure that others could be better. I'm sure about that. But most churches got that down. We'll preach the gospel. That's good. And there's a little bit of a drop-off for baptism, and some place a heavy emphasis on baptism, some don't, but most will still baptize. But where we have struggles as churches, and where our church struggles, honestly, is in the discipleship process, on teaching them to observe all things. It's a difficult thing to begin to enact. It's tough for every church. It's not something where there's some church out there going, oh, you guys are all lame. We're doing this perfectly. 100% of the people who trust Christ, they're discipled to a full, mature faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen like that. There is some fall off, and it's difficult to be able to do this process. It's the hardest process. But it's a big deal. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so there is a big emphasis on discipleship, on growing in your faith. And something I want to challenge us with as a church is making sure that you are growing in your Christian faith, that you are developing your faith, that you are being discipled, if you will, that we're growing together as Christians. Because again, it's great to be saved. It's wonderful to be baptized. But as a Christian, our desire should be to grow. And the simple question I use for myself, and maybe you can use it as well, is, am I a stronger Christian in growth? Have I grown more today than I was a month ago or a year ago? Whatever date you want to put on it. If you say, you know what, I haven't really grown at all, then we want to give ourselves into the growth process so that we can grow, so that we can bear fruit. It's important. Part of the process that God gave us. And so there's the gospel, there's baptism, there's discipleship. There's a process. There's going, teaching, baptizing, and then discipleship, teaching again. This is huge for what we do as a church. It's important that we fulfill this process, that each one of us says, hey, where am I at? Now, if you say you're here to say, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior, then you need to be saved. You say, well, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I haven't been baptized. Well, you need to be baptized. Well, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I have been baptized, but I'm not growing like I should. We need to get you this growing in your discipleship. Now, we have an initial discipleship course that we use for most Christians to get saved, but there's a process by which you can grow even outside of that or after that. And we should always be growing. Every Christian should always be growing. That's a big part of what we do. And so, how are we going to do this? Well, there needs to be a power that moves it. And that's what we see next is the power supplied. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible tells us, but ye shall receive power. And in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, the Bible tells us, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So the power that Jesus has, he is going to give to Christians. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We're going to talk tonight a little bit about what the Holy Spirit does and the role of the Holy Spirit. But there's a power that God has given to Christians through the Holy Spirit. We sing about since Jesus came into our heart. And the reality is Jesus doesn't live in our heart physically, right? The body that died on the cross, Jesus doesn't live in our hearts. But his presence does in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. He takes up, that's what it means to be born again. And the Spirit of God comes to live within inside of us. God living inside of us. Amazing. It's incredible. You know, I was asked this week about what happens when there's, he goes, there's demons out there, and there are, I believe, demon-possessed people. And that happens today, even like it did in Bible times. It didn't just magically disappear. There's demons still at work. And there is power on the other side of the fight. You know, Satan is not powerless. He does have power. Not all power, but he does have some power. And so as we see, like with Moses, when he went into Pharaoh, when Moses would do a miracle with his rod, oftentimes the magicians in Egypt were able to do the same thing. But always there was a little thing in there where Moses would always get the upper hand. Like, say, for instance, when they threw down their rods and they became snakes. So this is crazy. Moses throws down his rod, it becomes a snake. So these guys that are not of God, they're not on God's team, they come out with their rod, they throw them, they become snakes too. I mean, what would you think if somebody came into church and threw down the rod, boom, it's a snake. Okay, all right, I'm out, right? I mean, that's, whoa, that's some powerful stuff. But then Moses' rod, just to show who has all power, eats up those rods. And he picks it back up and it becomes a rod again. These guys are wondering, hey, I get my rod back? I mean, it happened that way. And so God has all power. So greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so if somebody says, hey, I'm going to curse you with a curse, hey, buddy, I got the Spirit of God inside me. And I have all power. And he's given that to me to be able to do what he wants me to do. But again, having all power, that's amazing. There's some things that Jesus did where he walked on water. He did that by that same power that he's given to us. Now, he did lots of amazing things, but the truth is that power was not given to us to walk on water. That was not the purpose for it. So no matter how hard you try, when you go out to the pool or the ocean, it's not going to happen. You say, well, what if I have enough faith? Trust me, I've been there. I've had all faith. I've been there as a young man. I was like, this is it. Lord, everything is in. I'm all in. What happened? You know, I'm all mad because that's not how it works. But that power is given to us for a purpose. Remember the purpose? The power comes with purpose. It doesn't just come for us to do however whatever we want to do. All right, well, hey, I want to go and heal. I would love to go in and heal some people in the hospital. It would be amazing. People in this church, I'd love to do it. But that wasn't the purpose for the power given to us. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and the purpose is that ye would be witnesses. That's the purpose for the power, is to be a witness, to tell others about Jesus Christ. So there is a power supplied. This power was originally supplied at Pentecost. Now what happened was, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they had the Feast of Pentecost, and that's where the Holy Spirit came upon them in Acts. And it's an amazing thing, amazing display of the Spirit's power that came upon them. And what's amazing about that is they went out, and immediately after receiving that power, what did they do? They witnessed. Peter preached. He preached an amazing message. He preached about the power that he had received. He witnessed. Now, there's authenticating signs that came with that, such as healing and the speaking of tongues and things that came with that to authenticate these people speaking on behalf of God. But the primary purpose for the power was to be a witness. That's what they did with it. They told folks about Jesus Christ. And the primary power for our power is to be a witness. To tell folks about Jesus Christ. That power was supplied at Pentecost, and it's given to us today at salvation. The moment you are saved, the Bible says you are born again, and the Spirit of God takes up residence in your heart. You have the Holy Spirit, and we're to really yield to that Spirit in our heart. We're not to grieve Him, we're not to quench Him, and we're to be a witness. It's an amazing thing. I want to challenge you as a Christian, want to be ready to be a witness. To be ready to go into our community to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And that all happens, again, I talked earlier about being a little bit apprehensive about talking to people about things, you know, whatever the case may be, that I have my opinions on, right? But this is more than an opinion. This is the Word of God. This is God loving people. This is God wanting to see them saved, giving me that mission. So now how do I get the boldness? How do I get the courage to talk to them about something that I'm kind of uncomfortable talking to them about, to be honest? I mean, there's very little I will talk to somebody about that I have no complete stranger about my opinion. You know, if I see a person wearing a Seahawks jersey, you know, you really should steer for the Broncos. You know, if you want to be a success in life, maybe next year too, because they're not doing so great this year. But the reality is that's my opinion. I like the Broncos. You don't have to like them. That's fine. But I'm not going to confront you on it. And the reality is again, whether there's health things that you do or whatever that you do, very rarely I'm going to say, you know, you probably shouldn't do that. And truth, I mean, maybe if there's like I'll step in if there's a husband beating his wife. I'll say, hey, let's talk about this, stop it. Well, I'll intervene there because somebody's in harm's way. But if they're having an argument, usually I'm not going to say, well, let's figure this out. You know, you're in public, you're arguing. Let's talk about this. What's going on? Who are you, buddy? Usually what happens when you get in between two fighting brothers or two fighting spouses is they'll turn that attention to you. So just FYI, unless there's somebody being hurt or harmed, maybe just go to the other aisle or whatever you need to do, because they'll figure it out. I'm not going to intervene there, but here's the deal. Their soul is at stake. Their eternity is at stake. And they will spend eternity in one of two places. They will spend eternity either in heaven, or in hell. It's guaranteed. There's no middle ground. There's no purgatory. There's no nothing. It's either heaven or hell. And there's only one way to get to heaven. Through Jesus Christ. That's it. That's all there is. So now I have the responsibility as a Christian to be a witness. And the power comes when I yield to the Spirit of God within me. And that's our struggle, to be honest. Because we have that power, it's within us, but that power is only enacted as we yield. Yielding looks something like this. There's something I want to do, there's something God wants me to do. Even from His Word, He'll tell me. And I'll have this battle. The flesh is lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary the one to the other. They're against each other. Flesh is me and what I want to do, and the Spirit is God and what He wants me to do. The more I yield to the Spirit, the more power I have to be a witness. The more I quench the Spirit and do what I want to do in my life, well, we figured out the equation, right? I'm not going to have the power, the courage, to be able to be a witness like God wants me to be. That's what's at stake. In addition to all the blessings that come from yielding to God, God knows how to live our life better than we do. That's a tough pill to swallow, but it's true. God knows what's better for us, what's best for us, better than we do. Well, it's my life. I know what's best for me. Not really. See, He has all knowledge. He has all power. He's created us. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows even what's going to happen tomorrow. He's God. He knows our future before we do. We have expectations, things that we hope for, but not certainties. He does. He knows. Therefore, He knows what's best for us. We've got to trust Him with that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean on unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That specifically, that behavior is specifically yielding the Spirit, giving us the power to produce fruit that He wants us to produce. Not just being a witness, but demonstrating love, joy, peace. All of that comes through yielding the Spirit. And to be a witness. It's all together. It's all a bundle. It's an amazing thing. I want to challenge us as a church. We need to yield to the Spirit of God. And we always get ideas for why we shouldn't yield. There's things that come to mind, and there's justifications for why, you know, it was really hard here, and I justify myself, you justify yourself. We all do it. It's human nature. We got to come to the reality where we sit down and say, you know what? I just need to yield to the Spirit. I just need to do what He wants me to do from the Word of God. He always leads us to the Word of God. By the Spirit of God, from the Word of God, I'll yield my life to what God wants me to do, and through that, I will begin producing what He wants me to produce. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and a gospel witness. Truth is we can all know how a Christian should look and even kind of feign that or fake that existence too. We know how to act loving, right? Now, being loving is different. Loving is actually sacrificing and giving of yourself. It's actually putting something on the line. But we know how to act loving. We know how to act righteous. We do. We're good at it. We know how to display Christianity. But every once in a while, we'll go through situations and what is in us will be revealed. It's amazing when you get into those situations. Something happens, a car breaks down, somebody hits you, something happens, a cart rams you, and what comes out of you is often what's in you. In fact, what comes out of you is always what's in you. And oftentimes what comes out of us is not pleasant. It's not a picture of the Spirit of God. Sometimes it's foul language. Sometimes it's anger. and that anger is very quickly directed at the person where we react and we try to put vengeance on them. I'm always amazed when you ever drive and maybe you pull out into the intersection, you realize somebody's coming, and you kind of just stop and you kind of freeze there. And you could have hit the person had you not realized it in time. The death stares. And the things that, you can't hear what they're saying. You know, obviously they're ticked. You didn't hit them. Just pulled out a little too far, whatever. And that happened to me one time. I backed up and I didn't see a person. So I hit my brakes and they were there. You know, I saw one, and actually it wasn't me, but I saw it in Home Depot. I came out of Home Depot and there was a guy backing up and the guy coming around the corner in a very, very beautiful Honda Pilot, brand new. It was one of the touring editions. They're very expensive. And he was, you know the guy? Oh, is it you? No. So it's coming around. No, I wasn't Winston, I promise, because there's a continuation of the story. The guy's pulling out, he comes around, and this guy in this car is so angry at this guy for pulling out. He didn't even see him. He's pulling out, and he rips around and parks, and this guy gets out, and he starts pulling out, and the guy starts to follow him. He gets out of his car, starts to follow the guy. Like, what's this guy going to do? And he, like, follows him all, and the guy could have stopped him, and there could have been a fight right there easily, but the guy kept going, thankfully. And, like, follows him walking all the way out of the parking lot. I'm like, what in the world? What's this guy doing? The truth is we all have those reactions from time to time. And that's evidence that we need to be better at yielding to the Spirit of God. And if there's a person that God has put on your heart and we need to witness to him, we need power to do that. To be honest with you, that's a difficult conversation. I'm not going to tell you, oh, just do it easy. You know, they'll obviously respond positively because it's you. That's not necessarily going to happen. So you need power and boldness to take that first step. And that comes from the Spirit of God as we yield to him. And so there's a lot at stake here. So there is power and impact in our witness. But that power only comes through yielding to the Spirit of God. So as we live our lives, as we do what we do, may we always have at our forefront yielding to the Spirit. The truth is our community needs salvation. I mean, you can look at our community and there's things that happen that, oh my goodness, if Jesus could be there, if Jesus would intervene, if Jesus would move, or even if maybe a Christian just needs to yield to the Spirit, because oftentimes the flesh, that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Even a Christian can get their lives messed up if they don't yield to the Spirit. We need Jesus. Our community needs Jesus. And we want to do all that we can to bring them to Christ. And the first thing we need to do is yield to the Spirit. That'll give us the power to be bold in our witness. And I want to challenge you. Let's do that this week. Let's do that this month. Let's start a habit to be able to make an impact on our community. But if we never yield to the Spirit, we will make no impact on our community. None. It all starts there. And I challenge you, let's do that as a church. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you help us to yield to your Spirit, to have an impact in our community with our witness. But Lord, we talked about the process that you've given to us and your purpose for us, and it begins with preaching the gospel. And so God, my prayer is that there's somebody here that does not know you as their Savior, that today they would be saved. And then it goes on from that. If they have been saved, they need to be baptized. This is something you want for. This is a command that you've given to us. This isn't something where we just debate it or say, well, I don't really like water. It's something where we need to be very serious about following you in believer's baptism. So God, if there's somebody here who's saved but not baptized, I pray that they make that decision today as well. And then God, for those who are saved and baptized, that we would give ourselves to growth, being discipled, yielding to the Spirit, and by that power that you have for us when we yield, we can be a witness. We can tell folks about Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you bless our church as we seek to make an impact on our community. How shall they hear? Unless somebody tells them. So it's our duty to preach the gospel. Even the Bible tells us if our gospel will be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So God, I pray that you help us have that boldness from your Spirit to preach your word, to give your gospel, to tell about Jesus Christ. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask this question real quick. I know not a lot of visitors here this morning, but if I want to ask you here, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know for sure that Jesus is my Savior. I have some doubt about that. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you raise your hand, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm going to pray for you, not by name, not going to call you out, but if that's you, would you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? And you can put it right back down. Nobody will see, just myself. If you'd slip that up and put it right back down, I'll see it. Is there anybody like that here today? Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? And then our Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray that you would help us as we seek to live the Christian life. Help us to grow. Help us to be what you want us to be. And God, I pray that you strengthen our church with what you've called us to do. I pray now that you bless this invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It all begins with surrender, so we're going to sing him.